Christos Anesti. All of us are born thirsty. God has created within us a thirst for things physical, spiritual, emotional, and mental. For instance, God has created us with a built-in thirst for food, drink, clothing, and shelter. God has created us with a thirst for stability and security. God has created with us a thirst for love, acceptance, friendship, and marriage. God has created us with a thirst for knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and culture. All of us are born thirsty. Why else does a natural man have a consuming desire to acquire wealth? Why else does he rush wildly after pleasure? Why else does he search endlessly for that pleasure? Why else does he explore the earth and ponder about the heavens and the space? Why? Because there is a void in his life. Because there is something in every natural man that is unsatisfied. Why? Because he is thirsty. All of us are born thirsty. Unless we thirst for the wrong things or the right things, we all have thirst. As Christians, we attempt to quench our thirst with God in mind. In today's gospel reading, we met a woman from Samaria. At first, Jesus simply asked her for a drink of water. Then he guided their conversation to the real issue, a gift that quenches the deepest human thirst. This woman was no stranger to thirst. After all, she was at the well to draw water. And she had been divorced 5 times and was living with a boyfriend when she met Jesus. Here was a woman who was thirsty for a lasting, durable, stable relationship. Here was a woman thirsting for meaning and direction in her life. Jesus also knew about thirst. After all, he asked the woman at the well for a drink of water. Can we remember another time when Jesus was thirsty? How about when Jesus was hanging on the cross, suffering in agony and about to die? Do we remember what words he said? 2 simple words. I thirst. These were a few of his physical human needs as he needed a drink. But Christ also had a deep spiritual thirst. He thirsted for God, his Father. Like Jesus, every person has this deep thirst, has a deep desire and need for God. Whether it is admitted or not, people are thirsty for God. Consider these words from Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Just a footnote, the reason why there was a mention of deer in this psalm. Did you know that in warm weather, a fully grown deer must drink more than 2 quarts of water every day? And deer don't sweat. Instead, they pant. You may even see, if you have a dog at home, sometimes the dog is panting. Have you ever been thirsty? I mean, truly, really thirsty. You know, where your throat is dry, and you have parched lips and swollen tongue, You know, you are really, really dry, your mouth, and you're thirsty. This is the kind of thirst humans have for God, whether they admit it or not. And only God can satisfy this thirst. And it comes by way of what Jesus spoke of today, living water. Jesus has an offer for all of us who are born thirsty. It is the same offer he made to the Samaritan woman. It is an offer of living water. What is this living water? What is the gift he is offering to the woman of Samaria and to us? We can find the answers in the gospel reading in chapter 7, 37 through 39, when Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from him." This is a reference to the gift, which is the Holy Spirit. John, the writer of this gospel, continued with this explanation in verse 39 when he wrote, "By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." Thus, God the Father, with Christ the Son, satisfies our real thirst by means of the Holy Spirit. If we pursue and look to the wrong things in life to attempt to quench our thirst, then we will be thirsty again and again and again. If we pursue only wealth, pleasure, and power, then as Jesus said today in verse 13 of today's reading, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Now compare this water to the water he told us about in verse 24. "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Christ alone can quench our thirst. He alone, with the Father and the Spirit, one God, can meet the deepest need of our heart, our soul, our very being. We all must realize that the living water Jesus spoke about today is right here, right now. It is within our grasp. It is the only water that will truly quench our thirst. It is living water. From the cross, the Lord said, "I am thirsty." He said, "I thirst." "I am thirsty," said the Samaritan woman as she looks for stability and security in her life. "I am thirsty," says natural man as he looks for meaning and purpose in his life. We are all thirsty. He who believes in Jesus will never be thirsty. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that he spoke about today. Receive in by believing and following Christ our Lord. The passion and thirst for God comes from God, and God answers it with Christ. This same God, through the Holy Spirit, changes our gifts of bread and wine in the liturgy into the precious body and blood of Christ. Believe in God and follow him, and this same gift of the Spirit will come as living water and quench our thirst forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to continue because I didn't preach about Mother's Day, so I'm going to say just a few words. First, I must say that it is appropriate for us to honor the women of our church on Mother's Day. So today we were very blessed to have the woman of Samaria, Saint Fortuny, a wonderful saint in our church. We honor our Mother of God who stood by her son with John. We honor her today and every day. And we should note that women are so many things to us all. They are feminine, nurturing, and loving, but they are also strong, brave, and courageous. As we know, the myrrh-bearing women were the ones that went to Christ's tomb, not the men. It was beautiful women that went to honor him and to pay their deep respect. We owe all women our respect, and we honor them. I had a few scriptural references that I just wanted to highlight and to read to you today. And unfortunately, our children are not with us at this moment, but this message is being preserved and recorded. So you may go onto our website and hear these references, as I'm sure you will want to tell your children the following. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life. This was written by St. Paul in Ephesians. Another, teach your children to choose the right path, and when they are older, they will remain upon it. In Proverbs. Another from Proverbs, may she who gave you birth be happy. And another from Exodus, honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God will give you. There's many, many more, but I just wanted to highlight a few. And I would also say that it takes so many words to describe the function of a mother in our lives. So, through the blessings that we have with our faith, we have the means to pray for all of you that are mothers, for all of you that are not mothers yet and may be godmothers, or those that don't have children but take care of their parents. You're all mothers to me and to the church. And so today, we honor you all. And because of this glorious day in our country that we've honored through our church, we will be giving each and every female a beautiful white rose for the purity of your souls, for your love for Christ, and for all that you do for his church. God loved everybody. He especially loved his mother. And we take his example, and we follow that example today. May God bless you all. Happy Mother's Day.